Because if you remember last week, we talked about how some people viewed God as a territorial God. They had said that God, your God was the God of the mountains, and he could defeat us there, but if we get him in the valley, and if we fight you in the valley, then we can beat you there. But the God of Israel was the God not of just a territory, he was God of all. And he is God of all. And in our lives, we need to remember that, because sometimes we think, well, God shows himself strong in this part of my life, but, you know, over here in this part of life, this is a different matter. I don't know if God can help me over here. I don't know if God can help me with this situation. He helps me with this situation over here, but this is different, and I don't know if he can do that. We're here to tell you today that the same God that can help you over here can help you over here. He's Lord and he's victor, and he wants to show himself strong in all of your life, in every area of your life, not just the mountaintop experiences of life, not just the good times, but also through the trials and the tribulations and the temptations of life. He wants to show himself strong even there. And so I would just encourage you to let God be God. As we are looking at the Ten Commandments, we've called them the Tender Commandments. And the first one was that we shouldn't have any other gods before him. And if we have a God that is so strong and as powerful as that, and a God who loves us so deeply, why would we ever want to even consider another God? And so we're going to go on this morning. We're not going to look at the rest of the nine. I said last week that we were going to do that. We are not going to do that. As I thought about this, there's just too many things I wanted to say, and I wanted to give it time. So would you turn in your Bibles, though, to Exodus chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20. We want to remember God by remembering his commandments. Exodus chapter 20. We will start with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's stop right there this morning. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to see these commandments that you give us, again, as tender commandments, Lord, that we could know something more about your heart today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Two first grade buddies were playing when one said to the other, I had a good time in vacation Bible school this morning. Why don't you go with me tomorrow? His friend responded by asking, what's a vacation Bible school? The little boy replied, we have it at church. We play games, sing, and learn about Jesus Christ. His friend asked, who is Jesus Christ? And then in the wisdom, surely born of the Spirit of God, the six-year-old answered, Jesus Christ is the best picture of God that was ever taken. And that is true. Jesus is God in the flesh. You wonder what God looks like. You wonder what God is like. All we have to do is look at who Jesus Christ is, what he is like. He is God in the flesh. We, from time to time, need to evaluate our lives. Is there any idolatry at all? Is there any snapshots in our wallet next to the picture of God? Is there anything in our lives that would steal us away from a wholehearted relationship with Christ? And if after we take and examine ourselves today, if there is something there, we certainly would want to cast it away and get rid of it to make the God, the only God that we serve. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Like all parents, we did our best to name our children. We took it seriously. We got name books and we read through the meanings of the names. We tried putting first, middle, last name together to see what would sound good. And we took it very seriously, researching the meaning of names. We wanted our child to have a special name with a special meaning that would give them something that they could shoot for in life. And you know, there are a lot of parents that feel the same way about naming their children. Now, there are some parents that don't take the responsibility as strongly, and some parents don't take it seriously enough, even giving their children names that are difficult to bear and live through life with, like the former governor of Texas, Jim Hogg, who gave his two daughters the names Ima and Ura. Ima Hogg and Ura Hogg. Or the man whose last name was Wood and who saddled his two daughters with the names Natalie and Holly. What a cruel joke to play on children, to give them names like that that people would look at and tease them with. But most parents are more considerate of a child's name than that, realizing that they carry that name with them all through life. And in some ways, names become a summary of who people really are. Whenever we hear a familiar name, our minds are flooded with different thoughts and even emotions, because names represent certain individuals. When we hear these names, we think of certain people and who they are, what they've done, how they've lived. In our minds, the names are a synopsis of the person's life and accomplishments. That's why people don't name their children Cain or Judas or Adolf, because we associate those names with the evil actions of certain individuals. So naming a person is something that we don't even take lightly in our culture. Now, in Jewish culture, they took it a lot more strongly than we do. In the days of Moses and the people of Israel, names had greater significance. In those days, a name was much more than a way to distinguish one person from another person. It became an identifying label. It reflected the essence of a person. It's similar to the way we look at a nickname like Red or Shorty. We would call somebody Red if they got red hair, probably, or Shorty if they're short in stature. Because to these people, names reflected something about them, so we gave them that nickname. But in the Bible, the main name was also significant. The name Jacob, for example, means supplanter or deceiver. He was a deceiver. He took that which was not rightfully his to have. He stole his brother Esau's birthright. He deceived him out of it. And so it was a perfect description of the name of Jacob. And later, Jacob tricked his father into giving him Esau's blessing. Played it up to the hilt. Esau was a hairy guy. He wasn't. So he put hair on his skin, made himself smell like he'd been out in the woods. His father was old in age and practically blind at that time. He suspected something was up, and so he said, "Are you my son, my very son Esau?" And Jacob said, "Yes, I am." And he lied about it. He deceived his father, tricked his brother out of his blessing. Because names were unique, they reflected something about a person. But it was much more than that. It was much more than that. In those days, names were also important because a person was felt to actually have been present in the name, in a manner in which he would not have been present apart from that name. The name was the person, so to speak. Because of this, there was often hesitation in telling somebody what your name was. Because if you gave them your name, you were in some way letting them have some kind of control over you. And that's why in Judges chapter 13 and verse 18, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Samson's father, "Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret?" You see, in those days, to know a person's name was to give you power over that person. You know, if names really did match up with a person's character or nature, just by them telling you their name, you knew all about them. And so it implied authority or control. Perhaps that's why Adam was given the task of naming the animals, because then it showed that Adam had dominion, Adam had authority over the animals. It demonstrated his rule as sovereign or as Lord over them. So names were very important. They were special things to people who received these 10 tender commandments as well. Because the name that was most special, the name that was most revered, was the name for God. You remember that when God called the people of Israel out of Egypt, he revealed his name to Moses. After Moses said, "Who am I going to tell the people sent me?" In other words, "What's your name?" And God says, "I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." I am. That means I am all inclusive. I am the God that is to be served. And in God revealing his name, revealed himself. It was God, in a sense. God's name was the same as his presence. I want you to understand this today. It's very important. God's name was the same as his presence. In Hebrew worship, when they would call upon the name of God, they were calling on the presence of God. When they named his name, they knew him to be present with them. And so it was at the very heart of Israelite worship. Call on the name of the Lord, or call on the presence of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose you out of all your tribes, to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come." So where you put the name of God, God would be there. God would inhabit that place. God would make that place his home. And so today as well, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we're calling for his presence. And when we call specifically for certain names of the Lord, we are calling specifically for certain attributes of God. We are asking for that part of God, those attributes of God, to come and show up, to be present and to manifest himself. Now, God's name not only signified his presence, but it also, even a step further here, signified his action. God saves by his name. Call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that great? All you have to do is call out, "Jesus, save me," and he saves us. "Jesus, help me." We call those flare prayers. You don't have time sometimes to make a real fancy long prayer. So you just call upon the name of the Lord. He saves. He delivers. The Lord fights for his people. Men find protection in his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Well, they run into his name, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a powerful name. Someday at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is such majesty in the name of Jesus that just at the mention of his name, people will drop to their knees. In the name of the Lord, there's healing. You call upon the name of the Lord. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And so God has all of these names, And the point that I'm trying to get you to see today is that when we call upon the name of the Lord, He makes His presence known. But He does even more than that. He begins to act on the meaning and power of that name. See what a tender thing this is, to be able to know the names of God and to find in that relationship all about Him through His name. We no longer revere the name of God. We constantly misuse His name. In a recent poll, 60% of Americans say they have taken the Lord's name in vain. But I would think it's probably more like 100%. I think we've all taken His name in vain. I'm not saying we use it as a swear word, but many times we are guilty of breaking this commandment because it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." The word vain there really means empty. So when we pray a meaningless or casual prayer in which we simply make empty promises or simply repeat prayers that we have known from memory, or we just are praying and we're not really even thinking about what we're saying, when we pray empty prayers like that, we are guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, Jesus warned us about that. And He said, don't become guilty of vain repetitions as the heathen do, that think that they will be heard because of their much speaking, their many words. It doesn't take a lot of words. It just takes a sincere heart to come before the Lord and to bring our petitions to Him. Sometimes people say things over and over again without real conviction. I used to know somebody that said, "Praise the Lord for everything." I think they were using the Lord's name in an empty way. They weren't really even thinking about it. Somebody would say something, you know, "I was sick yesterday." "Well, praise the Lord." You know, it became a fill word, a phrase. They didn't really know. They didn't say it without conviction. They didn't say it without meaning. So whenever we worship the Lord in an empty way, we're disobeying this law. And so today I would challenge you to think about the names of the Lord, but to begin to use them in a powerful way, knowing that His name is His presence. And in His name, there's not only His presence, but there's power, there's action, there's authority. He will act on the meaning of that name. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there something that you have need of? Is there something that you have need of today? Would you simply run to the Lord? Can you maybe even think of one of His names or one of His attributes that would apply to your situation? And would you just humbly come to Him today and say, "Lord, Jehovah Jireh, if it's you need provision. Or Lord of grace, if you need His grace. Lord of strength, if you need His strength. Lord of mercy, if you need His mercy." Whatever it is today, would you just come to Him today in that name? Run to His name today. And let Him be the strong tower to help you. How many of you are running to the Lord today? Could I see your hand? Amen. You're running to His name. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Worship team, would you come back? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. Let's do that today. Let's run to His name.